For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Martin McCloskey on fire. This is Mark McCloskey on fire on Newstalk STL.
I get no doubt, but I get
Well, good evening and welcome to Mark McCloskey on Fire. This is New Year's Eve. I mean, we can only expect something better in the coming year because it's pretty hard to be worse than the year we just had. But, you know, with the uniparty in control and now cancel culture going full tilt and secretaries of state determining that the only way to preserve democracy is by not letting people vote for the candidate of their choice, you know, we're probably looking at a rough 2024. But, you know, we have as a special guest with us today a young man who is one of the January 6th political prisoners, a guy who's not backing down, a guy who, despite all the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, is now running for United States House of Representatives from the 1st District in West Virginia. So welcome back to the show, Mr. Derek Evans. How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me back on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Well, tell us what is new and exciting in your life and give us a little bit of history of how you happened to become a political prisoner.
Yeah, well, you know, I was elected to the State House in 2020. I was the first Republican to win my district in over 98 years and won a landslide victory. And that's really why the government came after me so hard due to January 6th, because I was the highest ranking government official they could get their hands on. Anybody knows my story, I was never accused of any violence or destruction because I never did anything like that. I was completely peaceful and, you know, walked through an open set of doors, thanked a police officer for his service. He gave me a friendly fist bump and ultimately found myself facing 24 years in prison. The deep state came and ripped me away from my family, threw me in prison, held me hostage as a political prisoner. I did 8 days of solitary confinement because I refused a COVID vaccine while they were holding me hostage, and got out around this time last year. And now, you know, instead of giving up and quitting, I just thought I was going to run for U.S. Congress because I'm going to take this battle to their front door the same way they brought it to mine.
You know, and you mentioned solitary confinement because you refused to take the COVID vaccine. I know some of the other folks have told me that if you're doing a murder conviction, you get 23 hours in and 1 hour out. But if you're a political prisoner and with COVID, they put you in your cell 24 hours a day with no hour out in the rec yard. Was that the way it was with you?
That is 100% correct. When they throw you in the hole, like if you're in prison and you break the rules, they throw you in the hole. You know, it's jail inside of jail, if you will. And so those guys actually get out 1 hour per day. They're locked down 23 hours a day, and they get out for 1 hour per day. Those of us who came in and were thrown in solitary confinement for refusing the COVID vaccine, we were locked down 24 hours a day. So it was no getting out 24 hours a day for 8 days straight. It was mentally challenging, but in a weird way, I'm thankful for that experience because it's the closest I've ever been to God.
I can imagine. I suspect you spent a lot of time communing with the Lord and with nothing else to do in 24 hours a day in a lockdown. Tell us a little bit about all your nefarious activities on January 6th, everything that made you a terrorist and a revolutionary.
Well, what really made me a terrorist in terms of the government's eyes is I was an elected Republican who had the courage to stand up and speak out against their tyranny that they're throwing down on everybody. You know, think about this. They stole the election, and there's more and more evidence coming out of that every single day to continue proving that. And what was their response? They said, well, we're going to arrest the people who protest the crimes that they committed. And so once again, I was on the east side of the building. I was completely peaceful, never accused of anything other than that. And they just wanted to make an example out of myself. And I'm the only – think of all the state legislators and all the people who ran across the country saying that they were MAGA. I'm a patriot. I'm not – you know, I'm not a politician, all those things. Then they get elected and it came time to do something, and they were busy sending out fundraising emails. I said, you know what? I'm not going to send out fundraising emails. That's not going to do anything. I'm going to go stand with the American people, and I'm going to stand and exercise my natural God-given rights of free speech. And that's what I did.
Well, I know that if you look up Derek Evans on Wikipedia, they recite some of the evil and nefarious things you did. For example, they say that you were found on tape chanting Donald Trump's name. I mean, yeah. What more anti-American, what more devious and divisive act can you have than chanting the name of the President of the United States?
Yeah, that's literally, it's comical because it's literally in my charging documents that the government has. Is they say, accuse me. Well, they didn't accuse me. I did. I chanted, "We want Trump." I chanted USA. We sing the national anthem. And those things literally are some of the things that they accused me of doing on that day.
You damn terrorist. You know.
You can't make this up, you know.
You know, I'm laughing about it, but it's so terrible. And I remember also seeing on Wikipedia how they said that you are in video saying, you know, I don't know where I'm going. I'm just following the crowd. They let you in the building. They open the doors for you. You say the crime was you support the United States of America and President Trump, and you admit you're just following a crowd in some place you don't know where you are. Oh, my God. How are we ever going to survive terrorism like that?
And think about it. I was facing 24 years in prison. Like that's literally where we're at right now in this country. And to your point, I mean, they admit those are the things that I did that day. Is I followed a crowd through open doors and I chanted USA, chanted our president's name. Like that, and to them, and what's crazy now that you bring all that up, okay, if you go to the Wikipedia page for the prison where I was held at FCI Milan. It's in Milan, Michigan, right outside of Detroit. And they have a list of notable inmates on their Wikipedia page. And so before I get to me, yes, I'm one of their notable inmates, but literally Al-Qaeda members are on there. The guy who put the bombs in his shoes back in the early 2000s, tried to get on the airplane around Christmas, he's in there. The alleged leader of the Sinaloa cartel, in there. Mass murderers, in there. And yet they have little old me listed as a notable inmate beside of these literal terrorists and Al-Qaeda members. All for the things that you just said. They talked about.
My favorite charge, of course, the Supreme Court's looking at this now, is obstruction of an official proceeding. Right?
Yep.
You obstructed, man. You need to do 24 years in prison. You're familiar with my buddy Ryan Zink, though, aren't you?
Oh yeah, yep. Ryan's a great guy. He's a patriot. He's fighting that charge. And see, for me, I was charged with that. That was the felony charge they hit me with. I was arrested January 8th. I was like the first day of January 6th arrest. They came to my house and ripped me away. And so, you know, it sucks, but I'm glad I'm already on the other side of that. And I'm happy for the people who are, you know, now able. It's been almost 3 years. We're now getting some court movement to potentially throw that charge out because it was completely unconstitutional from the get-go.
Totally bogus. And what they do is, of course, and they did this to Patty and me as well, is they threaten you with a big felonies to try to get you to plead guilty to something.
Yep.
And, you know, in Ryan Zink's case, you know, they did the same, pardon my language, crap they did to you. They claimed that he was, you know, a mastermind of January 6th and personally responsible for the death of Brian Cisnick, and he refused to plead. And they started adding more and more felonies, and eventually, you know, he's in front of Judge Boasberg, who pronounces him guilty before he ever hears any evidence, and then the jury takes 20 minutes to convict him and recommend 21 years plus a 10-year terrorism enhancement.
That's the other thing. They start throwing the terrorist enhancements on the J6ers now if you don't want to do that, which is, like you said, another 10, sometimes 20 years added on. So now even 20 years is bad enough, 24 years is bad enough. Now you're facing 45, 50 years in prison. I have four young kids. My oldest is 7 now. At the time of my arrest, my oldest was 5. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking I'm going to miss their entire life. I'm not going to be out in prison even to see grandchildren if I'm lucky.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about, of course, is to intimidate and coerce and chill anybody from standing up and voicing their opinions. In the land of the free and the home of the brave, you got the right now to agree with the uniparty or go to prison for the biggest part of your life.
That's where we find ourselves right now. And then, like, that's the thing. They were trying to use myself and all the other J6ers as examples to put fear into the American people. And that's why I travel the country. I travel the country sharing my story, and that's why I'm running for office as well. I want to show the American people I'm just an average guy from southern West Virginia. I took one on the chin from this powerful, corrupt government and got up, dusted my britches off. I'm still fighting. I'm still standing, and I'm still fighting to save this country. And if I can do it, anyone can.
Yeah, well, that's right, and everybody needs to. I saw that Rachel Powell put a tweet out yesterday about after 3 years in house arrest, she has to show up for 51 months in prison.
Yep. Sad. I mean, she's a grandmother. She's a mom. She's a grandmother. Look, and here's the thing. When they hold you in that pretrial detention, none of that time counts. So she's been on house arrest for 3 years, and none of that counts towards her sentencing. The 18 months that I did of being in pretrial detention and under the thumb of the government, none of that counted. I still have 3 years of probation when I get out. And, you know, look, Rachel, she'll be the first to tell you. I mean, I think she broke a window on that day, and I'm sure that she regrets that. But, I mean, come on, guys, let's be serious here. 51 months in prison for allegedly breaking a window. We just had two Antifa members in Georgia who were found guilty of literally burning down a Wendy's building, burn it to the ground. they got 5 years probation, 150 hours of community service, no prison time, no jail time. And they burnt a Wendy's to the ground. This is crazy.
In the city of St. Louis, if you're an African-American gentleman, you kill another African-American gentleman. If you do 5 years in prison, it'd be a miracle. And I will just digress in my personal case. Out of the 350 to 500 people that broke down my gate, stormed my house, threatened to kill me, rape and murder my wife, burn down my house, burn down my office building, even kill my dog, not a single one of those guys did a day in jail or got charged with anything. And here you're walking into a building where the door is opened to you by the cops, or in Ryan Zink's case, not even getting into the Capitol building, just being outside and filming and getting threatened with spending the majority of your adult life in prison.
All on property that we own. The taxpayers own that property. Yeah. That's our building. That's our lawn. That all those things. Those people work for us. I'm sorry, but like, we are their boss. I pay taxes that pays their paycheck. They answer to us at the end of the day.
Yeah, government by the people, for the people, and terribly afraid of the people these days. So tell us how your congressional campaign's going.
Man, we are rocking and rolling over here. We've got, since the last time I spoke to you, we've been endorsed by General Flynn, Mike Lindell, Veterans for Trump. We've got well over 4,000 donors at this point. We've raised about $300,000. So we're super excited right now. We're not backed by Big Pharma. We're not backed by the military industrial complex. It's just American patriots all across the country chipping in, you know, $20, $30, $40, $50, little bits at a time, helping us out. And those are the people we're going to answer to. And we're really proud of that right now.
Well, that sounds great. I mean, I think there is a great awakening, which might even be the title of Alex Jones' new book. But with what the government's doing now, with what the Uniparty's doing, particularly with cancel culture and censorship, and now, as I tweeted this out today, I mean, it used to just be this kind of low-grade, cold civil war where they strip you of one right after another and do it to individuals or small groups. Now they're just, it's wholesale one-party control communism where entire classes of people, like the January 6th political prisoners, or leading political candidates will just be canceled, where they enforce democracy by controlling who you're allowed to vote for. And my favorite quote was from Don Rumsfeld, I think. It might have been Dick Cheney. I can't remember for sure. But he said, democracy isn't a process. It's an outcome, meaning it's only a free country if the right people get elected.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, and that's where we find ourselves right now. I mean, goodness gracious, the very people who have talked about voter suppression and you know, all these things, you know, disenfranchising voters, and now they're the very ones trying to pull President Trump off the ballot. They come after me, attempting to pull me off the ballot here in West Virginia. It's the same group. It's CREW, C-R-E-W. They're funded by George Soros. What we're seeing right now is 100% an attack on our constitutional republic.
And so, you know, what are we going to do about this? Here's the problem. We have this situation now in the country, and I talk about it every show because it is the one thing that's going to make or break our civilization. They've politicized the FBI and the Department of Justice. They've criminalized political opposition. They've now, if you hold the wrong political beliefs, you're subject to criminal prosecution. If you adhere to them in public, meaning you tell the world publicly what you believe in, and you name the people that have done it to you, then you're subject to civil suits for defamation. You get prosecuted by a leftist biased prosecutor in front of a dishonest biased judge, in front of a jury that would convict you no matter what the facts were. You get into these kangaroo courts, and then what do you want to do? You want to hire a lawyer. The problem is the lawyers are now being prosecuted for representing the people that are being prosecuted. And when you get done here, like John Eastman is going to be on the program next week, you get criminally charged for representing your client zealously, and then the Bar Association wants to take your license away for doing what you're supposed to do as a lawyer, and that's zealously represent your client to the full extent of the law, including any changes in the law that you believe are legitimately warranted. But how are you going to do that? How are you going to be a politician if you have to be afraid that if you lose, you go to jail, and if you get charged, you can't hire a lawyer because your lawyer is going to be afraid to represent you for fear of losing their job, their license, and maybe their liberty? I mean,
well, I'll tell you, we ran into that with January 6th. It was very difficult to find attorneys who would even touch this case, let alone actually take it. And that's why, you know, I'm so thankful for all the ones who are taking these cases and defending January 6th. political prisoners because they are literally sacrificing potentially their careers for doing so. I mean, it was, and it's not cheap either to do that. And so, yeah, that's exactly what we're seeing right now is it's 100% lawfare. And I think that's why I always laugh when I hear people say, oh, we need to defund and shrink the three-letter agencies. No, we need to defund and abolish the three-letter agencies. Yeah. There's no moving them to another part of the country. There's no, you know, shrinking them. There's no reining them in. We need to abolish. They're unconstitutional anyways. Return the power back to the states, back to the local communities, back to you and me and we, the people, where there's some accountability.
Absolutely. Get Donald J. Trump reelected president and just wipe the slate clean. Fire everybody in the DOJ. Fire everybody in the FBI. Eliminate all kinds of departments like the ATF and Department of Education and all these other things which are merely communist front organizations designed to control and manipulate. Well, we're going to have to take a break here. Can you hang on for after the break?
Yep, I got you.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back here in just a minute with Derek Evans, political prisoner and candidate for the 1st District of West Virginia.
Get more Mark McCloskey at NewstalkSTL.com. More Mark McCloskey on Fire coming up on Newstalk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com. Mark McCloskey on Fire. You're listening to Mark McCloskey on Fire on Newstalk STL.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Mark McCloskey on Fire on this New Year's Eve broadcast with my friend Derek Evans, candidate for Congress in West Virginia, 1st Congressional District, and political prisoner, had the guts to go to D.C. on January 6th and support all of us that knew that Donald Trump had the election stolen from him through a variety of nefarious processes. And by the way, the time for just fixing the ballot boxes, the time for cheating in elections by just stuffing ballot boxes and doing fraudulent vote counts is over. Now we live in a world where that's not divisive enough. Now Secretary of States and Supreme Courts are actually eliminating the candidates you get to vote for in this free and wonderful United States of America. But I got to mention one thing. I saw on Derek Evans' Twitter feed, Christmas ornaments depicting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Tony Fauci in nooses with a Donald Trump there with his thumbs up. Tell us a little bit about that.
Man, look, I caused a storm, that's for sure. I guess I'm good at that these days. But I saw the picture. I think it was on Getter. It was on one of the other social media sites. I thought it was funny. I saved it. I posted it on there and just said Merry Christmas. Didn't think anything of it. Went back to hanging out with my family, you know, for Christmas. Hopped back on a little bit later, and it was just – I was trending on Twitter. I'm like, what is going on right now, you know? But, you know, here's the thing. They don't want to talk about what would potentially have gotten us to that point. I didn't say anything violent. I didn't say any, I wasn't calling for violence or anything like that. But I think it's important to understand that I think it's the Italian version of Fauci is facing trial right now for his crimes against humanity. I think that Fauci should be, I think a lot of those people should be facing a military tribunal right now where there's an actual military court that holds a trial. And then what if they find him guilty, then they go from there. But I think that we need to be talking about some military tribunals at this point.
Oh, I think that Anthony Fauci is responsible for the death and torment of more human beings, anybody since Mao or Stalin or Adolf Hitler. I mean, these people are genuinely evil and something needs to be done. My biggest gripe every single day is that Congress will hold hearings, they'll have committee meetings, they'll issue press statements, but nobody's going to go to jail. And by God, these people need to go to jail. And last week I talked about throwing the book at people and burying them under the courthouse. Then I had to say, well, I did not mean actually throwing a book at somebody. I'm not threatening violence. That's how bizarre the world is these days, right?
It really is. But I'll tell you, man, you're exactly correct. I despise the Democrats. I wish that we had a bunch of Republicans who had their same backbone as the Democrats and were willing to fight and actually take a page out of their book. And I can tell you right now, I'm not running to make friends. I'm not running to play patty cake politics or make a career out of this. I'm running to kick in the front door, expose the corruption in D.C. And if it's the last thing I do, I will fight like with everything in me to make sure these people do go to prison and face the consequences of their actions.
Well, I'm sure you're going to tell us here that when you started being persecuted as a political prisoner, Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy and all these people immediately jumped to your defense, right?
Oh, yeah, of course they did. But they're all a bunch of spineless jellyback rhinos, man. These people would not even touch us. And here's the thing. We talked about it for a long time, trying to get help from them. None of these people – so when I talk about January 6th specifically, I talk about the January 6th before President Trump became a January 6th political prisoner and after he became a political prisoner. Because before, the people who were with us then, those are true patriots who were willing to stand for what was right, and they actually had the courage to do so. Most of those people didn't want anything to do with us. We were taboo to talk about. They didn't want to be associated with us. The moment that President Trump became a January 6th political prisoner, now all of a sudden people start coming out of the woodwork and want to talk about it. It's not because it's the right thing to do. It's because they're trying to score political favor with President Trump and the base. And I think people need to remember who was there from the get-go and who wasn't.
Yeah. Well, then you've got, for example, now that the Colorado Supreme Court has voted to bar Trump and Maine barring Trump from the Secretary of State on her own motion, barring Trump in Maine. And then you've got the political candidates that are out there, with the exception of Vivek Ramaswamy, squirming and worming and trying to find a way to use that to their own advantage instead of just standing up and saying, holy crap, this is unconstitutional. We cannot have this in our country. And only Vivek has got the guts to stand up and say, if they bar Trump, I'm withdrawing. And that's, that's separating the chaff from the wheat.
Oh, I agree. Listen, I'll tell you this. I think we got lucky. We dodged a bullet because had Ron DeSantis been smart, he would have stayed as governor. He'd have threw his support behind President Trump. And then in 2028, he probably would have been the front runner going in. Who knows what would have happened after it started, but he would have been the front runner going in. And then we would have found all these things out about him when it was too late and he was already the president and found out we got stuck with another Bush or somebody.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that he did this now. We found out now. And everybody wanted to talk for a while and say, well, if President Trump wasn't on the ballot, he's going to be on the ballot. He's going to be the nominee, and President Trump will be win the presidential election for the third year in a row. But if he wasn't on the ballot, they kept saying everybody would get behind DeSantis. That's not the case. If he, for some reason, was not on the ballot, the MAGA base would rally and push Vivek Ramaswamy over the top.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I met Vivek at CPAC last year. I thought he was a great guy, very charismatic, absolutely correct on politics. And, yeah, he'd be, I hope that Donald Trump picks a good person to be vice president, because we need 12 consistent years of good MAGA America First leadership. In 12 years, we might be able to turn this thing around. But if it's just Donald Trump and we get another George H.W. Bush or worse, a George W. Bush as president for the next 8 years after that, we're toast, unfortunately.
I would agree 100%. I think at the very least, I think Vivek Ramaswamy's at the very least put himself to solidify that he's going to be in a cabinet position of some sort. And I'll be honest with you, I think he's one of the front runners going into 2028.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. He's right age. He's smart. And once again, just like you and just like me, he's not beholden to any billionaire donor class. He's self-funded. And more than that, he's got a broad base of small dollar support out there because people just genuinely like him. And he's got the guts to stand up and tell the truth, just like the big guy, not that big guy, but our big guy, Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, man, when you listen to Nikki Haley and Chris Christie and some of these others, when you listen to them, what it reminds me of is how refreshing it was when President Trump came down that escalator in 2016. I think sometimes we forget just how fortunate we have been to have President Trump over the last 8 years. And then when you listen to those others, you start remembering what it was like before President Trump and how fortunate we are that he decided to come down that escalator and save our country.
Boy, Chris Christie, every time he's on TV, I just feel like, having a bowel movement, pardon my language. And then you got this smarmy Nikki Haley that would say anything to get elected. And, she just, what's my crowd today? What's your temperature? Oh, I'll say exactly what you want to hear because I don't have any genuine feelings or genuine politics. I just want to get elected really, really badly.
Yep, that's exactly right, man. It's the globalist, warmongering, neocons. I think it's funny that Vivek Ramaswamy calls him out. Once again, name three provinces in Ukraine that you want to send our sons and daughters to go die in, and she couldn't name a single one.
Yeah.
I think that once again, he's really kind of put them on blast and really exposed a lot of just how weak and corrupt they really are.
And I'll do my gratuitous campaign pitch for Donald Trump. I don't, regardless of how much I like Vivek Ramaswamy and what a smart guy he is, there's only one human being that's got the force of will, the courage, and the character to stand up against the swamp and take all the abuse and come out of it shining. And I mean, I don't know if you saw Dan Bongino's interview with Tucker Carlson here, but they were both talking about how no matter what they do to Donald Trump, they indict him, they sue him, they impeach him, he just comes out stronger. And the big concern is they've only got one tool left, and that's assassination. And
that's exactly right. It's scary to even think about it, but it's so true. And I'll tell you, I know our entire country's at stake right now, but in terms of individuals, I don't think there's anyone in the country right now who has a more individual stake in this than the January 6th political prisoners and their families. And I'll tell you right now, myself and everybody I know in the community supports President Trump 100% because our life is on the line. And there's only one person that I trust to save this country and to correct all the things that's going on right now and to ensure that my children are not going to have to live through everything that I lived through. The only person I trust to do that is President Donald J. Trump.
Absolutely. And God willing, he'll get elected president and he'll pardon all you poor political prisoner schmucks that had the misfortune to tell the truth and be willing to go up there and protest what we all recognize as a fraudulent election. Hey, are you going to be at any of the January 6th protests next week?
Well, I'm actually going to be in Florida at a couple of events down there. I'm speaking at two events in Florida on January 6th. I got a fundraiser down there on January 7th. And then I'm actually flying from there and going to D.C. I'll be going to the Epoch Times is putting out a part two of their January 6th documentary. I'm in that, and I'm going to go to that, to the private screening of that. And then on the 10th, I'm with Kim Klasick up in Baltimore, Maryland, for she's kicking off her pack, relaunching that. And so I'm going to go speak at that event. And then I get to come home and rest for a few days before I hit the road again.
All right. And before I let you go, tell us how we can help your campaign, how we can get a hold of you and donate and support your candidacy.
Yeah, you can go to our website, evansforwv.com. That's evansforwv.com. Go over there on the homepage. There's a button to click donate. Listen, I tell everyone, this is not my campaign. This is our campaign. If you've ever wanted to send a message to the swamp and to the elite, this is the opportunity to do so. You help elect a former January 6th political prisoner into Congress. That's going to send shockwaves through the elite, country club establishment people in D.C. If you don't want to do that, click join our team. You can phone bank, you can text, whatever, on behalf of our team from anywhere in the country. It doesn't matter where you live. We got people all over the country doing that. And if you don't want to do those things, add us to your prayer list. This is spiritual warfare of good versus evil. We need all the prayers you can get. But once again, evansforwv.com.
All right. Well, we appreciate you being on the show. We wish you the best of luck, and hopefully we'll have you back on between now and the election. And you know what I always say is the devil is real, evil is real, but Jesus will prevail in the end. But he needs all the help he can get. And pray for our friend Eric.
Thank you so much, Mark. I really appreciate you, man. Have a happy new year.
You take care. Well, here we are, New Year's Eve, 2023, looking at what the upcoming year, the upcoming election cycle, the upcoming chaos, and from everything I can tell, it's going to be a wild year. You know, we've mentioned this before, but obviously the Uniparty can turn on and off Antifa and BLM at the whim. I believe that there's going to be street violence. I believe that there's going to be every kind of unpleasant thing thrown at us, and all being blamed on Donald Trump and ultra MAGA Republicans and white supremacists and everything else that you can imagine. But it's all going to be turned on by the Uniparty to try to influence the outcome of the election. When you've got the states, I think there's now 12 additional states queued up to try to challenge Donald Trump's ability to be on the ballot. You've got election fraud going on every place with unsolicited mail-in ballots. You've got the media beating up everybody who would support Trump. You've got the Justice Department kicking in doors and arresting people for the crime of having adverse political opinions. You've got the bar associations throughout the country harassing lawyers and threatening to take their licenses for having the gall to zealously represent their clients who have been wrongfully charged by the government for purely political crimes. This is a bizarre time in America. You know how you can tell when a country isn't really free? It's how often everybody has to stand up and talk about how free they are. You know how you can tell when you really don't have fair elections? Is when everybody has to stand up and tell you how fair the elections are. You know when you don't have any election integrity? Is when you have to be told that an obviously corrupt election, an obviously fraudulent election, was the fairest and most secure election of all time. Okay? That. We've got bridges to sell you in New York and flood control programs to sell you in Las Vegas. I mean, this is all such nonsense. The way you know that people are lying to you in the media is because their mouths are moving. The way you know that politicians are lying to you is by the fact that they came up from no place maybe and now they're millionaires, or they came in as millionaires and now they're billionaires, or they came up from nowhere and now they answer to a bunch of billionaires that are going to secure the reelection. And what they won't tell you is what they really believe. What they won't tell you is what they really stand for. And what they won't do is stand up for people like our friend Derek Evans. And you know, when President Biden would say completely unconstitutional things, like, for example, with the eviction moratorium, where he says, I know what I'm doing is illegal, I know it's unconstitutional, but I'm going to do it anyway. And when he said the exact same thing about student loan forgiveness, or, for example, where he violates the law and allows millions of illegal aliens into the country illegally, contrary to the laws that have been enacted by Congress and signed by prior presidents, how come there's not every single Republican member of the House of Representatives, every single Republican senator standing on the Capitol steps and screaming, we cannot have this in a free republic. We cannot have this in a constitutional republic. We cannot have a president ignoring and flouting the Constitution. But no, just absolute crickets. Why? Because they're all a part of it. And the people that aren't a part of it are being systematically destroyed, arrested, harassed, having their doors kicked in, having their reputations destroyed, having their assets dissipated. And I'll talk about this in a little bit. But my buddy Rudy Giuliani, going from being America's mayor, a hero, the hero of 911, to being a pariah, being sued, being criminally prosecuted, now being subject to $147 million civil judgment for doing no more than saying what we all know was the truth. And when the truth destroys you, when the truth costs you $147 million that you don't have, when the truth takes your bar license away, then we don't have a free country. We don't have a free republic. What we have is a totalitarian dictatorship where your only freedom is to agree. And if you disagree, you got the freedom to be persecuted, prosecuted, and incarcerated. And that's not the United States of America I grew up in. And it's not the United States of America that we can have again if we all stand together and just refuse to cooperate. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a minute with my year interview and some New Year's resolutions.
Get more Mark McCloskey at newstalkstl.com. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Mark McCloskey, on fire. This is Mark McCloskey, on fire, on Newstalk STL.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Mark McCloskey on fire on this New Year's Eve. Well, you know, we can only hope the new year will be better than this year. It'll be pretty hard to top it, but I think we're going to top it. I think that the left has spent too many decades guaranteeing their success to risk losing it over one human being, that human being named Donald Trump. But, you know, I say it like a broken record, and that is I don't think there's anybody else out there that can defeat it. They can pull back our freedoms, but we've got to try. Well, look at what we've got now. We've got an open border on the southern border. We're sending billions of dollars to Ukraine to protect their borders because we have to protect democracy. Of course, when the left says democracy, they mean totalitarianism. And we're going to send billions of dollars in Israel to protect their borders when, in fact, they're in the process of invading another country. But that's neither here nor there. What we're not doing is protecting our own border. In this month, in the first 27 days of December, 226,000 illegal aliens intercepted. Those are the ones we know about. The city of St. Louis, where I live, the city itself has only got 300,000 residents. In this month alone, as many illegal aliens have come into this country as the population of the city of St. Louis. Every month, enough illegal aliens come into this country to be one of the 20 biggest cities in this country. They come in illegally. They come in here without assets. They come out here without transferable skills. They come in here with diseases that we haven't seen in this country in a century, like tuberculosis and all these kinds of communicable diseases that have been wiped out in the civilized world. But guess what? The powers that be, our illustrious government, is doing everything in its power to turn us from the epitome of the civilized world back into an impoverished third world nation. Because guess what? All your hard-earned tax dollars and mine are going to fund illegal aliens who come across the border penniless, jobless, skillless, and they're given a cell phone, an identity, and cash, and a cash stipend every month that beats your Social Security income if you should have the good nature to have worked your ass off your whole life and retire. And your thanks for it is our government will pay you less of the money they took from you in the past than they're giving for free to illegal aliens. Think about that the next time you go into the voting booth. Think about the fact that we're funding two wars overseas. Think about the fact that the warmongers in D.C. and the warmongers that want to be in D.C., like Nikki Haley, want to send our troops, want to bomb other cities, other countries. Lindsey Graham wanting to bomb the Iranians off the map, right? Lindsey Graham, Nikki Haley, both said it. Bomb them off the map. Well, gee, that's a good idea. Let's start World War III. We haven't got enough misery in this world already. And then you've got, as much as I hate Joe Biden, and probably nobody hates Joe Biden more than I do, except maybe his wife that keeps subjecting him to all this crap, even though he should be home sucking on some ice cream and sitting in front of a fireplace with a nice robe around his knees to keep his little bony knees warm. But, you know, what's this impeachment inquiry going to do? The impeachment inquiry is going to give the media an opportunity to say, look, these Republicans don't have anything. It's all just political nonsense because it's not going to go anywhere. He's not going to get convicted. He's not going to have the Senate vote against him. We can't get anything done in the House of Representatives or the Senate of the United States because there's only one party, and that party seeks to destroy everything that we hold near and dear. So we now have open borders. We now have no rule of law in this country. We now have a Department of Justice who finds its primary objective to protect America against white Americans, because those of us who stand up for traditional American values, particularly those of us who might be conservative Catholics, have been declared by the Department of Justice and Homeland Security to be the greatest threat to our democracy. Once again, democracy, as espoused by the Uniparty, means a leftist, totalitarian, single-world, socialist government, because democracy to them does not mean respecting the will of the American people, but coercing the American people to agree with them and then persecuting, prosecuting, and imprisoning the people that don't agree with them. We now have the Colorado Supreme Court taking Donald Trump off the ballot in Colorado. We now have the Secretary of State of Maine removing Donald Trump from the ballot. We have 12 other states where there's actions pending to remove Donald Trump from the ballot. Why? Because he's the overwhelming favorite to get elected president. And the only way, if you're a leftist, to preserve democracy is to prevent the democratic process from actually happening, because you can't trust your stupid, ignorant Americans. You can't trust those people out there who didn't go to Yale or Harvard, because obviously all of us that didn't go to Yale and Harvard are pretty gosh darn stupid, right? And we should respect our superiors. And our superiors are all these fine people in D.C. that know better than we do how to earn our money, how to spend our money, how to live our lives, how many sexes there are, how racist we are, and how we should all feel really, really bad for being traditional Americans. Because God knows, if you can't tap dance with a smirk and a tutu through the White House, you just don't deserve to be an American. And that's where we've come down to. They've degraded our society. They've degraded our morality. They've taken away our children's childhood. They've destroyed the concept of family. They've destroyed the concept of religion. And why? Because to the left, there's only one family, and that's the left. To the powers that be, there's only one religion, and that's government. To the powers that be, there's only one parent, and that's the state. And any other influence, any other power that would divert your attention from worshiping the central power of the state has to be eliminated, degraded, and destroyed. That'd be your family, your religion, your culture, and your heritage. And that's what we're facing. That's why I've all got to stand up about against this. And I got to tell you, the thing that I find the most frightening is that this insidious movement to the left comes in from every single direction. They brainwash our children in school. They brainwash us through the media. They brainwash us through entertainment. And if you've got the guts to stand up against it, they will prosecute you. They will charge you with crimes. Your biggest crime these days is by what they would call misinformation, meaning saying things that they don't agree with. They'll arrest you. You'll have these Soros-funded, leftist, dishonest prosecutors charge you with BS crimes in front of judges that have no respect for the rule of law but only wish to punish their political opponents. You get tried in front of a jury of people that would convict you no matter what the facts are because they hate you, because when they're applying to be on the jury during jury selection, they brag about how much they want to have power over you and destroy you. And if you get convicted by one of these kangaroo courts, by one of these runaway juries, you have to go to prison just like you'd actually done something wrong and just like you actually had committed a crime and just like you actually deserve it. And so what do you do when you get charged? You need to hire a lawyer. But how are you going to hire a lawyer when the lawyers are now subject to persecution, prosecution, and abuse for representing the people that are being persecuted, prosecuted, and abused? Look at John Eastman for writing two memos about what the law and his legal experience and his opinion, Mike Pence's options were on January 6th. He's a criminal defendant in Georgia. He's had his law license under fire in California. They've had his law license on trial since last June in California for doing no more than what he was trained in law school to do and spent his life doing, and that's zealously representing his client within the bounds of the law, the existing law, and what the law could reasonably be interpreted or changed in the future to be. And that's what we're supposed to do as a lawyer. But now, if you do that, if you zealously represent your client, and your client is being politically prosecuted and persecuted, you yourself will be politically prosecuted and persecuted. You'll lose your job, you'll lose your license, you'll lose your future, you'll lose your ability to support your family, your kids going to school, your livelihood. And so what does that do? It's a multifaceted thing. If you've survived all the brainwashing, if you can stand up against it and maintain an objective view of the world where you recognize all the lies and you recognize all the corruption, if you have the guts and the willingness to stand up and do that, you'll get prosecuted. You can't hire a lawyer because the lawyers don't want to go through the same process. They've got comfortable lives. We've been all lured into this concept that you need to have this comfortable life with a big house and nice cars and nice clothes, and you go out on the weekends and you have your glass of scotch and you have your cigar and everything's all hunky-dory. And by the way, you feel immune from it all because you've got your nice car and your nice house and your nice glass of scotch and your cigar. And you think that if you just put your head down, all this is going to blow over and everything's going to be fine in the future. Well, tell that to the victims of Stalin's purges. Tell that to the 50 million people that Chairman Mao exterminated. Tell that to the slaves in China today. Tell that to the victims of Cuba and Venezuela and every place else where the left has taken over. Well, you know, as always, I'm just this little ray of sunshine. I am the bluebird of happiness sitting on your shoulder, reminding you of how good our world is and how bright our future is going to be. So in that regard, I've got some New Year's resolutions, okay? How about this for a New Year's resolution? We resolve to wear no masks ever again in the future. We resolve to not suffer vaccine. We will not subject ourselves to experimental drugs and fall over dead. I like this one I saw on Twitter today, some female standing up there saying, you know, I got vaxxed, I got boosted, I got my flu shot, I got every kind of vaccine, I've been in Mexico, I've been all over the place, I've never had COVID, I've never felt better in my life, Jesus must love me more than anybody else, and she falls over dead right in front of the microphone. I mean, you know, this is, you just can't make this stuff up. How about this for New Year's resolution? No more lockdowns. If the government wants to lock us down and say no, and moreover, hell no. No confiscation of weapons. The Second Amendment has nothing to do with shooting Bambi and Kevlar, regardless of what that idiot Joe Biden has to say. You know, it has to do with keeping the central government from having a monopoly on coercive force. And as I always say, the definition of an assault weapon in my mind, even though David Shipman couldn't define one when he was running for the head of ATF, definition of an assault weapon is an effective defense against an overreaching government. And that's what the Second Amendment is all about. So no gun confiscations, no red flag laws. Your ex-girlfriend from college shouldn't have the power to have some court take your guns away and have you have to come back later and prove your innocence. That's unconstitutional. Those laws will go into effect January 1st in Michigan, for example. Your ex-girlfriend, your ex-wife, somebody you dated in college, somebody who you wanted to date in college but didn't, can come up before a judge and say you're a danger to yourself and others, have all your guns stripped away, have your constitutional rights stripped from you, and then you get to come back and try to prove your innocence. That, ladies and gentlemen, is unconstitutional. No red flag laws. Let's make a New Year's resolution. Let's make another one. No more votes for rhinos. If somebody running as a Republican isn't a real Republican, if they don't put America first, if they don't put the interests of America first, if they don't put the Constitution and our constitutional republic first, if they don't think about what's good for the average American first before anything else, then they should not get our votes. They need to be called out. They need to be identified. They need to be stripped out of the government and replaced with people that will actually put the United States of America, our fellow citizens, our culture, our heritage, and our Constitution first, and put everything else in the back burner until we accomplish that. How about this for a New Year's resolution? Close the goddamn borders. How about this for a New Year's resolution? Don't bring in enough fentanyl to kill 87,000 Americans every year. I always say the same thing. I'm old enough to remember 57,000 Americans killed in years of battle in Vietnam, and people are in the streets protesting against it. Now, twice that many people die every year from opioid overdoses in this country. And do you hear the kind of clamor? Do you hear we can't allow this? Do you hear we've got to stop all trade with China until the precursor drugs stop flowing into Mexico and South America, and stop the border trade until every last fentanyl pill is eradicated? Nah, why? Because people are making money, okay? And that's what it comes down to. People are making money. And as long as they put money ahead of the safety and welfare of our citizens, then we need to resolve to drive those people out and replace them with people that actually care about you and me. How about another one? No Michelle Obama or Gavin Newsom as president, okay? You know, how about just making a vow right now that no matter what happens to Joe Biden, even if his brain goes on an even more permanent vacation, we're not going to allow Big Mike or Gavin Newsom to be president of the United States, okay? How about no compromise with the left? How about just recognizing the fact that this is a war for our culture, this is a war against our freedom, a war against our government, a war against our Constitution, a war against our religion, and they will take absolutely every measure that they have in their power to destroy us. We need to recognize, we need to vow that to recognize that this is a war for our future, for our culture, for our country, for our families, and for our God, and we need to do everything we can to fight that war, to resist that war, to recognize we're under attack, and use every tactic we can to defeat that evil, because it's using every tactic it can to destroy us. And how about this for the number one New Year's resolution? No more Joe Biden, okay? And the converse of that is, let's all resolve to put Donald J. Trump back in the White House, put America first, end this endless march towards a single world socialist government. Make this world great again. Make America great again. Make freedom ring throughout this country, and make the new year, let's resolve to make the new year a free year, an American year, a year where we reclaim what made America great and make America great again. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a happy new year.
Get more Mark McCloskey at NewstalkSTL.com. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire on Newstalk STL. For podcast articles and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com.